And he said, should I not drink it? And there are some of the things that was in his cup, was starting in verse 12, that they would take him and bind him. He was taken and bound as part of his cup. The eternal God, who took it upon himself to be bound by time and space, also allowed men to chain him, bind him, and treat him as a common criminal, as part of that cup. And then in verse 13, and they led him away to face a judge. Men, they were set in judgment upon him as part of his cup. Men were set in judgment upon him and passed sentence against him, who would one day stand in front of him, who is the judge of all, the eternal judge, and be judged of him. And then his part of his cup was, and this is the one that I love, in the last part of verse 13, that he should die. Excuse me, in verse 14, it was expedient that this man should die for the people. I love that part of it. He died for the people. What people? The people that the Father gave him. For my people, he was smitten for the transgressions of my people. But some of the bitterest part of his cup was the denial of Simon Peter and his other disciples fleeing away. When all of them promised they'd stand with him, stand for him, even willing to die for him. But part of his cup was that he would be forsaken of all. That he'd be forsaken of all. That the sword of God's justice would smite the shepherd, and the sheep would be scattered. Would be scattered. And still yet, it was a part of his bitter cup. He knew it was to come, and yet it was part of that cup. Now I want to talk about Simon Peter's denial tonight. And that's why I'm skipping around, and we'll pick up verse 19 next week. But look at Simon Peter here in verse 15. And Simon Peter, here's a man who was an apostle. An apostle. One of the very inner circle. Wherever you find, how many times do you find where Peter, John, and James went with him? Peter, John, and James went there. Peter, John, and James, he spoke to them this way. And here was a man who walked on the water. Say what you will about him, he did get out of that ship and walk on that water. He may got frightened later, but he did walk on the water. And he is also the man that when our Lord Jesus Christ told him to cast down his net on the right side of his boat after he'd fished all night, and he said, Lord, and when he cast it down, he took in a great draught of fishes that his net almost broke. He said, oh Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. That I'd ever question you and doubt your word. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And our Lord said he was blessed. Now you look over here with me in Matthew chapter 16. Our Lord said he was a blessed man. And what made him blessed? Well, look what happens here in Matthew chapter 16. And we'll start in verse 16. Our Lord said, what are men saying about me? Who are they claiming that I am? They said, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the other prophets. But he said, but whom do you say that I am? You have some thought about who you think I am. You have come to some conclusion in your mind. And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'm telling you, on me, Peter, I'm going to build this church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And on, the Lord even gave him the keys to the kingdom in verse 19. And that's the first that he used them on the day of Pentecost to open the keys to the Jews. And then later in Acts chapter 10 to open the keys to the Gentiles when he preached the gospel to Cornelius. And then look down in verse 21. Now here's how this man situation is called a blessed man. Our Lord said he was. But he is also used of the devil. You think the devil won't use you and use me? If he'll use an apostle, he got to use somebody. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now watch this. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For you don't delight, you don't enjoy the taste of the things of God, but those that be of men." So here's this man, this apostle, called blessed in 1 minute, just a little while later, was used of the devil. But look what it says now back over here in our text in verse 15. "And Simon Peter followed Jesus." He followed Jesus. Now, beloved, Matthew 26:58 says he followed him afar off. And he entered into the high priest's palace and sat to see what the end should be. Yeah, but he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved him. He wanted to see what was going to happen to him, what was going to be done to him. And yet he wasn't bold enough to keep near to him as his disciples, to stay right with him. J.C. Ryle said this about him. He said, "Love made him ashamed to run away and hide himself. Cowardice made him ashamed to show his colors and stick by his Lord's side. But he chose the middle ground. He straddled the fence. And that was the worst thing he could have done. If he had just flat left like the rest of them, or if he had stood by the Lord's side instead of standing in the middle, chose sides one way or the other. And the middle ground was the worst place he could have chose." And so he followed Jesus. And that's why, you know, before, that's what our Lord said, "He that's for me, either you're for me or you're against me." There's no middle ground in this business of salvation. Either you own him or you don't. And here, look what it says also. "And so did another disciple." So did another disciple. "And this disciple," it says, "was known unto the high priest. And we went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest." So whoever this disciple was, he went right in with, when they took Christ in, he walked in with him. And he went in with him. Now, it don't tell us who this disciple is. I don't know who he is. But I do know it wasn't John. Because you look over in Acts chapter 4 and you'll see there when they laid hold on John and James and brought them before the council for the first time, Annas was there and Caiaphas was there. Both of these high priests were there. And they didn't know either one of these men. Didn't know either one of them. All they know was is that they knew that these men had been with Jesus and that they were ignorant and unlearned. But it's obvious that they had been with Jesus because they were speaking of him. Now, we don't know who this was. It could have been Joseph of Arimathea. It had to be somebody that was known as the high priest. It couldn't have been a nobody. You know, John was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. Andrew was a fisherman. Just an old, hard-working fisherman. He ain't going to get access to the high priest's office, the high priest's palace. So it could have been Nicodemus. It could have been Joseph. It could have been somebody else. We don't know who it was. But it says he went with Jesus. He wasn't like him. He went with Jesus in to the palace of the high priest. Now look what it says in verse 16. "But Peter stood at the door without." Peter stood at the door without. Now God in his providence made Peter come up to a shut door. To a shut door. The door was shut. And down in verse 17, there was a damsel that kept the door unto Peter. Wouldn't let him in. But Peter stood at the door without. God in his glorious providence and blessed providence had shut this door. And it would take some part on Simon Peter's part, effort on his part, to get in that door, to go into that palace. If only he had stayed outside and not tried to get in there, all the sin that he would not have committed. The sin he would not have committed. Our Lord had plainly said to him, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptations." Watch and pray. And here's this opportunity to go in there. Is he going to go in there and defend Christ? Is he going to go in there and witness for Christ? Is he going to go in there and say, "That's my master"? I can understand if he wants to go in there and do that. If he just wants to go in there to behold a spectacle or a scene, and God, in his providence, had a shut door there for him. But Peter ignores the warning, the obstacle of the door closed to him. And he knocks to be let in. And he wants to be let in. He asks them to be let in. And then look what it says in verse 16. Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. In other words, she wasn't going to let him in. He had no business in there. He was nobody. He had no credentials. He had no business being there, and she wasn't going to let him in. And he said, there's another disciple went in there and probably told him his name. And he said, you go tell him that I'm out here. And that man came and left what he was doing. And he came and he said, oh, I know this man here. You let him in. I'll vouch for him. You let him in here. So he had to make an effort to get in there to sin the sin that he did. And oh, beloved, that's a valuable, valuable lesson for us here. The Lord put obstacles in Simon Peter's way to stop him from going on and denying the Lord and sinning so grievously. Christ had warned him beforehand, hours and days beforehand, of what he would do. Told him, and he went on headlong anyway, I've got to go on. And don't I, Lord, often do this? If he ever puts an obstacle, you're going to do something. You got in your mind, you're going to do something. And there's an obstacle gets in your way. The first thing you need to ask yourself, did God, is this the will of God for me to do this? And what's going to be the results if you do it? Are you going to be put in a situation where you're going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, can you look in the Word and see if it's all right for you to go through that door? If it's all right for you to go over that obstacle? And if you look in the Word, And you find in the Word it's all right for you to go across that obstacle that God's putting you away, you go right on ahead and do it. But if there ain't no plain word about it, you better stop right there. I think that's a good lesson for all of us. Huh? And that's what he prayed tonight. Lord, keep us. Direct our paths. Don't lead us to a, if you lead us to a door. And there's lots of doors that we come to in our lives. And lots of them's closed. And if a man, if he'll wait on God, and if God wants that door open, he'll open it. If he don't open it, don't butt your head against it. Don't try to get somebody to open it for you. Oh, my. You know, look in Psalm 19. Let's look at this a minute. This is what, and I'm speaking to myself. I'm preaching to myself now. Oh, my. Lord, direct our paths. Keep us, Lord. Keep us from sinning against you. Keep us from, if you put an obstacle in our way, for us not trying to get over it or get around it. To wait on you to see if it's in your providence for us not to go that way or wait on you. But look what he says here in verse 12 of Psalm 19. Who can understand his errors? Who can? Anybody here want to start talking about their faults and their errors, the things that's wrong with them? Now, you're willing to talk about it, but somebody else starts pointing the blame at you, you'd get mad about it. But that's why we don't understand our own errors. We really, truly don't. We're the last one to know just how bad we really are. And watch this. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret ones, Lord. The ones that I'm trying to keep from other people. Now, watch this. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Sins of deliberate, willful. And that's what it is. Just arrogant, willful, I'm going to do it. I'm saved by grace and I know God and I know the Scriptures, but I'm going to do this thing. And then he said, if I do them, don't let them have dominion on me. Don't let them end up just ruling me and reigning over me. Then I shall be upright and shall be innocent from that great transgression. What's that great transgression? Of denying Christ himself. God keep us, direct our paths. Now look what else happens over here. Simon Peter's asked three questions by three different people, or three different times by three different groups here. Three questions Simon Peter was asked. Well, then says in verse 17, they brought Peter in. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter. Kept the door, wouldn't let him in. And then when he got in, he's standing there. Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? Uh-huh. The first question was from a damsel. a young woman, a maid. And the maid was the doorkeeper. It wasn't a man. It wasn't a Roman soldier that would intimidate him. It wasn't one of the Jewish officers that would stand there and cow him down. It's just a little woman, just a little maid, a young woman. And yet in the presence of this young woman, he was afraid to acknowledge his allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Why would God put a woman there and cause him to be afraid of a woman? If there'd been a Roman soldier standing there with swords and spears and all of his armor on and his uniform on, and I could understand him saying, I might have been intimidated, you know, but it would have been intimidated. Or if it had been one of the high priest's servants standing there, and his runner told the high priest, this is one of his men, get him too. But it's just a woman, a young maid. Why would God do this? And listen, her question wasn't asked in a harsh manner either. She didn't say in a harsh manner, are you one of his? Are you one of those followers of this insurrectionist? Are you one of those followers of this man who is a false prophet? Are you one of these followers of this man who blasphemes God himself and says he's the Son of God? Are you one of those who's following this man who's against Judaism and is against Moses? No, no. She said, art thou not also one of the disciples of this man? She said, this man? Huh? But why did God use a woman here? First of all, to humble his pride and to cause his weakness to stand as a warning against self-confidence for all of us. For all of us. Huh? And then Elijah. Now here's a perfect illustration. Elijah, a man, a prophet. Oh, what a prophet. He even raised the dead, caused the widow's meal barrel to stay. Every time she went to it, she got some oil. Got some meal every single time. And here's old Elijah. He stands and he faces 450 false prophets of Baal. And he calls fire down from heaven to prove who God's God. And God answered with fire. Licked up the sacrifices, licked up the water, and even licked up the dirt and the rocks. Burn them up. Then he slew those 450 false prophets. And you can read this yourself. When you get home, you read this. It's hilarious in a way. 1 Kings 19, verse 1 says this. Jezebel said, you go tell that Elijah, as he did to my prophets, as God lives, and so shall he do unto me if I don't kill him by this time tomorrow. And you know what that fella done? He just faced 450 false prophets. He had just seen fire fall from heaven. He had prayed, and it hadn't rained 3.5 years. But when he began to pray, the rain began to come. But a woman said, I'm after him. I'm going to kill him. And you know what he done? He ran just as hard as he could run. And he left his servant in Judah, and then he went a day's journey and sat down under a juniper tree and said, Lord, let me die. A woman scared him. Oh my. We can be as bold as a lion one minute and weak kneed and weak as water the next. But oh, and then look what Peter done. Peter just flat out lied. Just told a bald-faced lie. He said, I am not. I am not. Here's the man who walked on the water. Oh, if any man thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Who would have ever thought that bold, impetuous, here's the man who grabbed the sword and wanted to fight. And this is just a few minutes after that. Who would have ever thought that bold, impetuous, fearless Simon Peter would be so timid, so cowardly in front of just a young woman? And then look in verse 18. And the servants and the officers stood there. who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Now watch this. This just blows, this the word just hits you so hard. And Peter stood with them. Stood with them. Them. You want to see who them is? Look in verse 5. Then they answered Jesus of Nazareth. Our Lord said, who are you looking for? Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Stood with them. He stood with them who apprehended his master. He stood with them who came out to lay hold on his blessed Savior. And not only that, but look what it says, and he warmed himself. Not only did he stand with them, but he warmed himself. He was cold. And I tell you something, beloved, you follow Christ afar off, like Simon Peter did here, and you'll get cold too. You follow him afar off from his word, follow him afar off from his meeting with him, with his saints, follow him afar off in prayer, follow him afar off in all the means that he's given us, and it won't be no time and you'll be cold too. Huh? And I'll tell you something. He warmed himself at the fire of the enemies of his Lord, of his Savior, of his Redeemer. And I'll tell you this, beloved, I know this from experience. The enemies of Christ will always have a fire for us to warm ourselves at if we'll do it. He always will. If we don't stay near to our Savior, we're going to have to warm ourselves somewhere. That's right. We'll find ourselves warming at the fire of the world, right out there in the middle of it. We'll find ourselves warming ourselves at the fire of our old flesh and its uncleanness and lasciviousness. And we'll find ourselves warming ourselves at the fire of the devil and all of his heresies. Oh, Lord Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain. Keep us, oh God, keep us ever near to Thee. Near, near, Lord, near to Thee. Oh, God, put in us a fear. Put in us a fear. And I pray this for all of us. And I know all the other pastors do it. And I know you do it for yourself. Lord, put a fear in me that I'd get so far away from you that I'd deny you. Please keep me near to you. Put such a fear in me that I'll be afraid that I won't know when I'm far away. Please put that fear in me. Then look at a second question down in verse 25. Here's the second question. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. First of all, he's warming himself. He's more interested in his body than he is his soul at this time, at this point in time. And they asked him, they said, Art, they said. Now, several people ask him here. He's standing around this fire. And no doubt that fire is illuminating his face. And they look at him and they said, boy, I know this man. I've seen him somewhere. And they began to ask him, all these fellows standing around this fire. They got this fire out here in this hall. And they're all standing around getting warm. And Peter stood there warming himself. And they said, art not thou also one of his disciples? And here he's standing warming his fire, warming himself at this fire. And he was listening. You know, there was talk going on. People were talking. People were using awful language. And he was listening to the awful, blasphemous talk about his master. And they were saying some awful things, no doubt, about his master. But he was too timid to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, too timid to witness for him, and too timid to say, this what you all say about this man is not so. This is the most generous, compassionate, powerful, loving, forgiving, glorious human being and man that's ever been. And not only is he that, but he's God. And he, God, sent him here to save us from our sins. But he didn't do that. Art thou not one of his? And And oh, being here, Bill, and then he lied again. And he said, oh, he denied and said, I am not. Just a bold, black-faced lie. And oh, beloved, the Scriptures tell us. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. This is, and here he is. He's among all these people. He's among these people here. And being among these enemies of the Lord, he was challenged. He was challenged. Are you a believer? Aren't you one of his followers? Aren't you one of his followers? And he lied again. He was challenged about his relationship with Christ. And being challenged, he sinned grievously. And I want you to notice this. Peter didn't deny that Jesus was the Christ. He didn't say he's not the Christ. He didn't deny that he was the Son of God. He didn't deny that he was the Savior of sinners. He didn't deny anything about Christ at all. Except, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of his. I'm not one of his. No. Look here in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself into thinking this. That when you're around evil people, fooling around with evil people, that it won't corrupt your good manners. That it won't cause you to fall right in with them. Huh? You can have the number one dog in America that's won the biggest prize in America. And you bring him out where a bunch of dogs are running rabbits or deer or something like that. And if he breaks the leash, you know what that high-priced, high-powered dog's going to do? He's going to fall in with him and run with him. And beloved, don't think for one minute that you're wise enough and strong enough, and I ain't either, that we can mix with the devil and mix with the world and mix with the things of the world and evil people that don't know Christ, don't care about Christ, and not interested in Christ, and us not fall in with them sooner or later. That's right, really. We've done it. I've done it too many times. And oh, beloved, here's the third question now. In verse 26, it just gets worse. It's sad. It's sad. And what's so sad about it is that we may not do it as overtly as Simon Peter did. But how many times have we covertly done it? Here he says, one of the servants of the high priest. One of them fellows that waited on the high priest. This is a far cry from the way the high priest in the Old Testament was. Aaron didn't have a palace. This fellow had a palace. You find most priests today may live in a palace. The Pope lives in a palace. And oh, look what he says now. Being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off. And he was out there in the garden now. He was close kin cousin, second cousin, maybe a nephew or something of that man, Malchus, whom Simon Peter cut his ear. And watch what he says now. Didn't I see you in the garden with him? And I'd say when he said with him, that he pointed over to him and said, didn't I see you in the garden with him? How else is he going to know who he's talking about? Didn't I see you in the garden with Jesus of Nazareth? No. He said, did I see you in the garden with him? And oh, what a rebuke this was. Simon Peter was standing with them. And then along comes one that reminds him that just a short while ago, you stood with him. God left him to himself. God left him to himself. Why? Not only for his benefit. Simon Peter had some awful lessons he needed to learn, but you and I had some lessons to learn. Thank God that he gave us this word. We don't have to do this. He's warned us, showed us, taught us, instructed us. He left him to himself. Why? To show him, to show us this one thing, above everything else, that except for God's omnipotent grace hold us, we're certain to fall. Certain to fall. We'll leave the presence of Christ and warm at the enemy's fire in just a matter of a few minutes. I mean, except God in omnipotent grace hold us, it's not a question of our fall, and it's just how far down we'll go. That's the question. Here this man was. He cut off a man's ear, then lied, denied Christ, and all in the space of just a few minutes, probably less than an hour. Oh, what is man, Lord, that you're mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you visited? Man at his best estate is altogether vanity. Well, what did he say to him when he said this? In verse 27, Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Look back over in John 13 just a minute. John 13, 38. Simon Peter said to the Lord, "Why cannot I follow thee now?" In verse 37, "I'll lay down my life for your sake," because our Lord said he was going away and he couldn't follow. Three times. And when he denied him the third time, immediately, just a little before daylight, the rooster crowed. If you had asked anyone who knew Simon Peter, ask anybody to know him. You know Simon Peter. Oh, I've known him for years. What's his weakness? What would cause him to fall? If anything could overthrow him, what would it be? Not one of them would have said cowardice and timidity. Not one of them. They said he had faced down a bear, fighting with a switch. Not one of them said he had been afraid. He did cut off Malchus's ear. He was willing to fight. He had great courage. And he even had enough courage to follow the Lord Jesus Christ into the palace. But he was like Naaman. If he had been able to go in there and fight with swords, he would have been more than willing to do that. But to stand up in his heart, to stand up in his soul, where that's where Christ is worshipped and Christ is known, he would have been willing, but the kingdom of God is not with sword and spear. He would have done a great task if a great task would have been, Lord, if the Lord would have said, "Now, Peter, you got to go in there and rescue me out of there." He would have went in there like a bull in a china shop. But that's not the way it was. You see, we don't get to choose our fights. We don't get to choose our trials. Only God gets to choose our fights and our trials. You see, the devil is sifting him. And this is what's so mysterious about this. This whole trial was over before he knew he was even being tried. And that's the way our trials come. They come just on us just like that. They'll come in a day's business. In a day's business. You don't know how God's trying you. He may put you in a situation just to see how you'll react in the space of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. Or it may put you in a conversation on a telephone. Or with a child, a few minutes to talk to somebody, an evening with friends. All of these may be trials to see how we're going to act and react. And I knew this, if we knew that a great trial was coming, we'd be able to prepare ourselves for it. But we never know when they're coming, and we don't know how they're coming. And when we think of a trial, we think of hell being turned loose on us. But oftentimes, all it is how you treat somebody when you're ordering a meal. All it is sometimes is how you treat somebody when they're not feeling very well. Or how you think of somebody when they're down or something. Or how you talk to them on the telephone. Or how you're with them when you're with them in the evening or something. We're looking for something drastic to take place. And it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Well, let me give you several things quick. quick. I'll give them to you real quick. And this is some great lessons for us to learn in this. The believer is as weak as water. Is as weak as water. You look at Peter's privileges. A couple hours before this, he had taken the Lord's Supper. He had heard our Lord's sweet encouraging words. Let not your heart be troubled. Heard him for 3 chapters. Then heard him pray for them. And yet he fell. Yet he fell. And this is a lesson for us. The danger of self-confidence. The very minute you get to feeling like you're strong, and you can make it, and you can stand, and you feel real good about yourself and your abilities, watch out. And then there's the consequences of failing to pray. Our Lord said, watch and pray. Watch. You know, to watch and not pray, without prayer you'll fail to watch. You won't see what's going on. So they go together. And then the awful results of the fear of man. Simon Peter feared this little old woman here, feared these men. And the fear of man bringeth the snare. And here's another lesson for us. We ought not never be surprised when our familiar friends fail us in a crucial situation. I mean, when the going gets tough lots of times, those that's the very closest to us fail us. Our most familiar friends. But you know what it does? Makes us fall back on Christ that much harder. And anything make us fall on Him is worth it, ain't it? Yeah. But thank God, I'm not going to leave us in that kind of we've got a faithful and a merciful high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Look over in Luke 22 and I'm through. Oh my, Peter no doubt was ashamed. He was so ashamed of what he had done. Embarrassed, hurt, ashamed. And the scripture said he went out and wept bitterly. I believe that he was so broken inside and so ashamed and so embarrassed and that his soul was just like somebody ripping it out of him. Yes, Simon Peter fell, but he didn't stay down. He rose again. And when he rose again, he was a wiser man and a more cautious man. And look what it says here in verse 31 of Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Thank God we got a faithful and merciful high priest. You remember in John 17 when the Lord Jesus said, I pray that you keep them from the evil one. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And beloved, a man can do a lot of things. But one thing Simon Peter could never have done. He may have denied Christ publicly to men. But he could have never denied the presence of Christ in his heart. Blasphemed Christ. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And when he was converted from his high-minded, self-confident, self-righteous, self-aggrandizing ways, when he was humbled, he is a changed man. A changed man. And I tell you this, the same hand, when he was walking on the water, and them waves began to roll over him, and he, Lord, said, Lord, save me, I perish. And Christ reached a hand and got a hold of him. The same hand that reached and got him when he was on that water fixed to go under is the same hand that reached and got him when he denied his Lord 3 times. Thank God. Thank God that we've got a faithful and a merciful great high priest. Our blessed, blessed Savior. Father, your word is indeed sharper than a two-edged sword. Oh, it pierced us tonight. Pierced us deep. And it put fear in our hearts. Put caution in our mind. And, oh Lord, I believe that's a good thing. and we thank you for it. And dear Lord, we ask that you'd please preserve us and keep us and help us to always be true and faithful and honor you. And when we fail, forgive us, please. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Father, strengthen and encourage the dear saints of God here. Be merciful and gracious to those that are sick and afflicted and are being tried and are not with us. And again, we pray for every family here's unconverted children, that you in your wondrous sovereign mercy would deal with them and make them feel their need of your cleansing blood and your forgiveness and your power. Father, thank you for meeting with us tonight and for your precious word. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen. Amen. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, my Jesus, He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Amen. We'll see you Sunday. Me and Gary left this water in here. It won't take long to heat it up. Maybe the Lord will do something for somebody else. We can carry them right to the baptistry.